نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders, friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I recited before you two verses from the 28 juz of the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refer to two groups of the Sahaba, the Muhajireen and the Ansars. The Muhajireen were those people that migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah, came to Madinah al-Munawwara. And the Ansars, the helpers, were those people that helped, assisted, and hosted the Muhajireen and took care of them to the best of their ability. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala refers to four qualities of the Muhajireen. And the same four qualities were also found in the Ansars. The first quality in the Muhajireen, lil fuqara. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, some of them were rich and wealthy. They had homes, they had business, they had properties. But for the sake of Islam, when they left, the kuffar of Makkah al-Mukarramah seized their properties. And instead of being rich, now they became poor. All for the sake of deen. Second, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Such great effort and sacrifice was made only for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Third, وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The Muhajireen, they would want to help Allah and help the Rasul of Allah to establish the deen of Allah. And fourth quality, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are truthful people. The same four qualities that are found the Muhajireen were also for the Ansars. The difference is, the Muhajireen lost their wealth in the path of Allah. And the Ansars had wealth, they spent the wealth in the path of Allah. These were two great illustrious groups among the Sahaba. In one hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْرِمُوا أَصْحَابِي فَإِنَّهُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ. Honor my Sahaba. They are the best among you. The survival of Islam depends upon us having our belief and our trust and our link with the Sahaba. There is no deen, there is no Islam without the link of the Sahaba. If there is a shell of a motor vehicle, it can be the shell of a BMW or a Mercedes or a Porsche. The shell is there, but there's no engine there. There's no value of that car. It's just a shell. The value of the car depends on the engine. The engine of Deen and Islam, after Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba, it is through them that Islam was able to move. What are you going to do with a shell of a car without the engine? The car is not going to move. How would Islam move from one place to another without the Sahaba? Among the great illustrious Sahaba, companions of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one was Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Islam, the love for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that came into his heart was because of his mother. The name of the mother was Ghumaysa. She is known as Umme Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. But her actual name was Ghumaysa. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu belonged to the Ansars from the tribe of Khazraj. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could make hijrat and come to Madinatul Munawwara, Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, or her name Humaysa radiallahu ta'ala anha, had already accepted Islam, and she had deep love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she always used to talk about the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for Allah, the love for deen, to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was a young boy. And the books of hadith mention that Anas radiallahu ta'ala already had deep love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could even come to Madinatul Munawwara. And that is because of the effort of the mother. And that is what our mothers should do. That talk about Allah, talk about the Rasul, speak about various aspects of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of the Rasul of Allah, instill it into the heart of our children. And the more we do it, the deeper the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heart of our children, the love of the Sahaba in the heart of our children, that will keep them on the straight path, keep them on deen and Islam right till the last moments of their lives. This is very, very important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat. When he came to Madinatul Munawwara, he told to Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was married to Humaysa or Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala, Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, identify a young boy who could help me and assist me in my work. Abu Talha goes home and he tells this to Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she thought to herself, who would be more fortunate for that position than my own son Anas? She presented her son Anas to serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, the age of Anas was 10 years. He served Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then Anas radiallahu ta'ala's age was 20 years. He lived after that for another 80 years. He served Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was a young boy, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should sometimes joke with him. At times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell him, Ya Zal Uzunain, which means that, oh, person with 2 ears. Now, everyone got 2 ears. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to Anas, oh, person with 2 ears. Because whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call him, he would immediately respond as though he was alert with his ears on responding to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him picking some vegetables. So to joke with him, and sometimes you do it to become familiar with the person, build that link and contact with the person, make the person comfortable. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joked with Anas, and used to call him, Ya Aba Hamza. Hamza actually refers to a plant. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, O father of the plant. He's a small boy. Where a small boy could be a father? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, sometime with small children, you tell them those kind of words just to make them feel comfortable. This is also a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, Anas is your khadim, he serves you, make dua for him. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made 2 duas for him. O Allah, grant him barakah in his wealth, and O Allah, grant him barakah in his life. 2 things. And most definitely the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be accepted. Anas radiallahu ta'ala saw the effect of the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in both things. Wealth, he used to have an orchard in Madinatul Munawwara. Other people's orchard used to bear fruits once a year. With the barakat of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas radiallahu ta'ala's orchard used to bear fruits twice a year. And in the books of hadith, in Asma'ur Rijal, it is stated that people used to enter the orchard of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, they could even get the fragrance of musk coming out. There was so much of barakat in his life that he lived for almost 100 years. Some of them said 100, some of them said 99. But within that period of time, he had 80 children. 78 sons, 2 daughters. daughter's name was Hafsa, and the other daughter's name was Umme Amr. Two daughters he had. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala himself says, he was in Basra. After the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went away to Basra. And he says that in his, leave aside his children, but grandchildren, according to one narration, 125 grandchildren, he has seen them pass away in his own lifetime. So much of barakah in his wealth, so much of barakah in his life. Old age, he, not a single tooth of his was broken. This was all he served Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for him, and this was the barakah of the dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a person that was mustajabud da'wat. Whatever dua he would make, immediately get accepted. On one occasion, it was in Basra. There was drought, there was famine. One Qahraman farmer, he came to Anas radiallahu ta'ala and said that our farms are dry, animals are suffering, make dua. Anas radiallahu ta'ala immediately went, made wudu, he made dua. No sooner he completed his dua, clouds immediately gathered and it rained in that entire area. This was Hadrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala. He passed away at a ripe old age, according to one narration, 99, some of them are 100 or probably more than that. So much of barakat in his life that he was the second last sahabi to have passed away. On one occasion, after the Isha Salah, one day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told to a sahaba, from this day onwards, upon the turn of the century, 100 years from this point, whoever is on the face of the earth, all would have been, all passed away. And it was approximately, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this, like in the last moments of his life, around the 10th year after Hijrah. And that is why the Muhaddithin mentioned the last Sahaba, they were living till 110. And Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, in Basra, he was the last Sahabi to pass away. Another one Sahabi who passed away after him, the last Sahabi to pass away in the world, was Hazrat Abu Tufail radiallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala passed away, he had the Mubarak hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The barakah, blessing, the Mubarak hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it also had life in it. It had and he kept it for the sake of barakah. In Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, the statement is there. He said, "Sha'aratun wahidatun ahabbu ilayya min ad-dunya wa ma fiha." One Mubarak hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better for me, more beloved than the entire world and its contents. When he passed away, before that, he advised, he made wasiyat, that take the Mubarak hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and put it in my mouth or put it under his chin, and in that way, that wasiyat of his was carried out, it was put in his kafan, and in that way, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who was buried. I want to share with you two hadiths of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, which is very relevant for our times. Alhamdulillah, month of Ramadan, we exert ourselves in ibadat. We try to get our sins washed. We want the closeness and the proximity to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But just take heed to this one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hazrat Anas, bear in mind how close Anas radiallahu ta'ala was to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is an advice that is coming from a person that is being so loved. Ya bunay, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsi wa laysa fi qalbika ghashun li ahad faf'al. Ya bunay, zalika min sunnati, wa man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. Oh my beloved son, Nabi Karim says, address Anas. Oh my beloved son, if it is possible to spend the morning and the evening in such a way that there's no ill feeling, no animosity, no rancor, no hatred in your heart for the next person, let that happen. Keep your heart pure and clean. Remove that ill feeling and dirt from your heart. Oh my son, keeping the heart clean, that's my sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. We all claim we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives us a criteria of his love. And that person who loves my sunnah, he really is the person that loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي. And the person that really loves me, not just verbalizing that claim, but practicing on my sunnah, that person will be with me in Jannat and Paradise. So much of ibadat we make in the month of Ramadan. Tilawat of the Quran. We make reading Taraweeh. Allah accept everything. But we need to ask ourselves question. Is my heart clean from everyone else? Sometimes we don't need to exert ourselves so much in ibadat, whilst that has its merit. But merely having a pure and clean heart is also sufficient. And that itself is a mujahada, that itself is a great sacrifice. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was seated with a sahaba, he told a sahaba, just now one person will pass by, innahu min ahli jannah, he is a jannati. Second day, Nabi sallam mentioned the same thing, the same sahabi passed by. Third day, same thing. That same sahabi passed by, Nabi sallam referred to him as Jannati. So Hadrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was curious. Why Nabi sallam referred to this person as a Jannati? He thought, I need to follow him and watch what he's doing. So he followed him and told him that, look, I've got a problem at home, and if you could host me in your home, then I wouldn't mind that. So sahabi agreed, readily agreed. So, but the purpose of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was to see what is so unique and special about the sahabi that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to him as a jannati. He stayed with him whole night. He read his Isha Salah. He just slept. He said, now and then I observe in the middle of the night, he would wake up, turn his posture, make little zikr here, there, but sleep away again. And Fajr time, he would wake up and go to a masjid. There wasn't anything extraordinary about him. 3 days, he watched him closely. The third day, he approached the sahabi and said, I had no problem at home. I actually wanted to observe what's so unique about yourself, because this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about you. So what is it? Sahabi mentioned, you have seen what I've done, but there's one thing about me. One thing about me, and that's probably why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that, I got no ill feeling in my heart for anyone. Keeping the heart pure, keeping it clean, removing that ill feeling, that malice from there, from the heart, that invokes a lot of rahmat and mercy of Allah. And sometimes when we are making the ibadat of Allah, we all want to be successful and get close to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But when there's dirt inside there, then there's an obstacle, there's a barrier that need to come out. Then the heart will really shine with the marifat and the recognition of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this was an outstanding quality even in the lives of the Sahaba. The second hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, narrated by him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Man ahabba أَيُّبْسَتَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِ وَيُنْسَأْ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِمَهُ. Oh, kama qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every one of us, we work for two things. We want long life and we want barakah in our rizq. Morning till the evening, we are doing the same thing. We just want to increase. We want barakah in our rozi and we want barakah in our life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one simple prescription. Maintain family ties. You maintain family ties. How? What's the link of between family ties and having a long life and having a barakah in your rizq? That is beyond our understanding and comprehension. Maybe to some extent we can comprehend it, but this happens by divine order. We maintain family ties. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put barakah in our life. Allah will put barakah in our rozi and our sustenance. Shariat will emphasize a lot on family ties. A lot. One of the fundamental teachings in all the religions, to every Nabi, to Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, every Nabi, to maintain family ties. It's a fundamental teaching of Deen and Islam. In one hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, لا تنزل الرحمة على قوم فيه قاطع رحم. If there's a group of people and among them there's somebody that does not maintain family ties, that entire group of people are deprived of rahmat and the mercy of Allah. So much of emphasis. So much of emphasis. In fact, there's a background to this particular hadith. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to perform hajj. Thousands of sahaba around Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the plains of Arafat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to a sahaba and he says that I can see something is blocking the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. What is that that somebody have done that the rahmat of Allah is not coming? This is Hajj time. Allah the Rasul is in the state of Ihram. Thousands of them are in the state of Ihram in the plains of Arafat. Why Allah the rahmat won't come? Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala said, I woke up from there and I went away. I had a little problem, ill feeling between me and my auntie. I went, because of what I heard from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I thought I probably am the cause. So I went, I spoke to my auntie, restored the relationship and I came back. Nabi Kareem sallallahu asked me, where did you go? I told the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after you made that announcement, I thought I am the cause of blocking the rahmat of Allah. I went and restored the relationship with my auntie. So Nabi Akareem, that's when Nabi has mentioned that if there's one person who breaks family ties, then the entire community deprives the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. How important it is for us to maintain that family ties. In fact, in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is reported to mention, لا يدخل الجنة قاطي. A person who breaks family ties not going to go Jannat. Yet we are making that ibadat. We are doing everything just to get freedom from Jahannam and entrance to Jannah. But what we are supposed to do in Shariat, that we don't do. And that's the mizaj we need to inculcate in us. What Shariat wants us to do, do that. Not just our feelings and our emotions. In one hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to mention, and many people have this attitude that if that family person is good to us, we're good. If he doesn't good to us, just leave him one side. That's not family ties. Whoever is good to us and then we are good to him, that is reciprocating. That's not maintaining family ties. You maintain with someone that breaks up with you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Laysal wasilu bil mukafi. That the person that reciprocates with you, you good to him, and you good to him because he's good to you, you're just returning the same thing. But what extra did you do to maintain something that's broken? One sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, I've got a family member and I'm trying to be good to a person. Every time I'm good to him, he's bad to me. Every time I'm being good to him, he's bad to me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, carry on doing that good. If what you are saying is true, then that person is filling his stomach with the fire of hell. We should continue doing this. And in this, we show the akhlaq, we show the character, we show that conduct, then inshallah, that spiritual level that we are talking about will come very, very quickly in our lives. I just want to mention one important point and terminate with that. Sometimes an extended family. If a person has a big family, many children, or few children, especially when our children get married, then son-in-law comes, daughter-in-law comes, this daughter-in-law comes, then extended family, in-laws comes. And then sometimes, you, as a person, you get to hear so many things. You hear from this person one story, then you hear from that one story. How should you react on that? We must be very, very fair and balanced, and we must be have a very fair attitude to everyone. It's not like when my son or my daughter came and told me something, I immediately digest the information, but somebody that's a little bit more distant, then we discard that information. Or sometimes we feel more inclined towards somebody that's more closer to us, irrespective whether what was said was right or wrong. That attitude is wrong. And by adopting that attitude, we are then causing more rift in the family. Remember, when we are not fair in our conduct to anyone, that unfair conduct breeds animosity. And you as a family member, you want to enjoy peace and harmony. But your own conduct is such that is bringing that grief to your own self. And that's what Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem. that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhada'a lillah walau ala anfusikum aw al walidayn wal aqrabin. Be fair, irrespective who tells you what. If among your children, your extended family, whoever comes and tells you what, you be fair. If somebody told you the right thing, you accept. They told you the wrong thing, even if their own children more beloved to you, you immediately correct them. And in that way, you keep your heart clean, you're teaching them lesson. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to a Sahaba, none of you should come and tell me anything negative about my Sahaba. So, because when I want to come out to them, that urid an akhruj ilayhim wa ana salimus sadar. I want to come out to them, I want to have a clean heart, I want to see everybody with a clean heart. And as responsible people in the family, how we maintain family, we should not hesitate to correct our family people from the wrong attitude and conduct they're doing. Yes, of course, with love, with kindness, whatever their situation may be, but don't side the wrong. The moment you side the wrong, then we are planting the seeds of enmity and animosity in the family. On one side, Sharia tells us maintain family ties, but our conduct, how we conduct ourselves, that is also equally important. Muhabbat and unity comes in a family with our correct conduct and character. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And Allah Ta'ala put love, muhabbat, unity in our families. And it is through this, when we make our islah, sometimes we exert ourselves in ibadat. But what we're supposed to be doing, the conduct in our personal lives, we don't do that, we fall short. And then we think, I'm exerting myself in ibadat so much, making so much dua, things are not coming right. Things are not coming right because you're not doing the right thing. You're making the ibadat, but what Sharia tells you to do, that you're not doing. But if you do that, apart from your ibadat, then you'll see that how Allah's rahmat and mercy will come in our lives. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat. Inshallah, we'll now be making the zikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It's the core of our life. The zikr is the core of our life. We came from Allah. We're going to go back to Allah. And between coming from Allah and going to Allah, every aspect of our life is controlled by Allah.